an end around again. This time the left side, and Ross has got it. He's down the sideline, the 20, the 15. Runs over his own teammate to the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1. Touchdown, Bears! Oh, what a bonanza!
Palmer. Touchdown, Cardinals. Jeremy Ross.
Nick Foles under center a bunch, hasn't been under center a bunch this season.
It's Ross, returnable punt if he gets footing. And he does. Jeremy Ross through the snow on his sleigh to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit.
Good morning.
Jeremy, nice shirt.
Oh, thank you. And I knew this shirt was going to be controversial. I know probably half the room is Mets, half the room Yankees. I tell you what, this was a gift. This is a gift given by Phil, by Dave. So you can blame me for this one. I just wanted to wear it today. That'd be a good look. Thank you all for having me. This is great to be here. Jersey have a lot of nostalgia coming back. You know, we had the men's event last night, which was awesome. Great. Can everybody hear me back? Good. Now, it was just a great event. Have the men come together, everybody just be able to come and connect, have some great sharing. And it was a great event. So be praying for that event, for the men that showed up, just so that some souls can be saved from that event. You know, so be praying that God moves in a major way, which I know he will. And just make sure we're praying for that, just for, you know, people's lives to be impacted. Coming from you from the West Coast, the Bay Area, part of our church, a little bit about myself. Well, I'm Jeremy Ross, by the way. Been married for 9 years. I have 3 children who are at home right now, probably waiting for me to get back so they can do what they do best, which is zap my energy. But this has been great being out here. So I'm glad I get to share something with you all today. Hope you guys walk away with something today. Just want to ask the question, how many of us this morning are feeling like we don't have much, right? And not having much can mean a lot of different things, right? It could be not having much financially. It could be meaning, you know, maybe you're a little older, even younger, not having much energy. Maybe you don't have as much time, right? Not having much faith, not much strength. It can mean a lot of things for a lot of different people. But I want to encourage us this morning. And so I entitled today's lesson, A Little Goes a Long Way. All right? And I want to start off with a scripture in Matthew 14, 16 through 21. All these scriptures I'm reading are going to be out of the NIV. Scripture reads, Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. You know, how many of us can relate to the doubt that the disciples had? Pointing out the obvious. Hey, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You're looking at all these people here, and you're looking at what's in front of you, and you start to doubt. How many of us focus on the situation and not on God? Thinking about what we can do instead of what God can do. Some of us may be looking at our age and saying, man, I'm too old. I can't do it. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time anymore. Maybe you're young. Man, I'm young. I don't know if I can do X, Y, and Z because maybe I'm too young. Maybe I don't have the time. Maybe you're in school. Maybe you have financial. Maybe God's calling you to do something financially. Maybe you feel like, man, I just can't do it because I don't have enough money. I don't think I can support this. I don't think I can do this. Give here, give there. I just don't have enough. I don't have enough energy. Maybe I don't have enough strength. Man, God, I don't have the faith. God, you want me to do these things, but I just don't have the faith to do it. I don't have enough. You know, I have the same doubts. When it comes to my family salvation, I have those same doubts. of, man, God, I just don't know if it's possible. I'm looking at the situation, and I'm not sure if it's possible. I look at my family and where they are geographically, and I can instill my faith in believing that they could be saved. I'm like, ah, where they're at, there's not churches where they're at. God, I don't know if they're gonna become Christians, God. Because where they're at geographically, I can be insecure as a father. God, I don't know if I have enough to be able to give to my kids and be the dad that they need to be. I just don't know if I have that, have enough for them. I can feel insecure in my marriage. God, I'm not manly enough. God, I don't know if I can lead my wife. I don't know if I can be the man that I need to be for her. I just don't think I have enough. I look at who I'm called to be, and we can all have this mindset. We can all think this way. We can all look at who we are currently and who God wants us to be, and we get discouraged.
Come on, bro.
Now, why does this happen? Why do we get discouraged? Why do we feel like we don't have enough? Like it's not enough. Like what we have is not enough. I'll tell you why. It's the half-truth.
All right. Come on.
It's the half-truth. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29, it says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, a lot of reasons why we get discouraged when we look at the situation and not who God is because we're looking at how weak we are as people. And you know, the truth is, Satan is always in our ears, right? Telling us how weak we are, how we're not good enough, how we're not capable, how we have these sins that we struggle with. Because we have these sins, we can't do this or that. And the truth is, he's right. Like when Satan tells you you're weak, he's right. Like when he tells you you're foolish, he's right.
Yeah.
He's right. There is no lies told there. But the thing is, when we're not connected with God, that's all we see is those truths. And the truth of us being weak. Because the truth is, if we are not connected with God, that's all we are is weak. That's all we are is the people that he chose us. The weak people that he chose. The foolish people. The lowly. The despised. All those things are facts. You know, for me, when I was playing football, I was terrified on the field.
All right.
Probably wouldn't be able to tell because I had success on the field, but inside, terrified, scared of failing, scared of making mistakes. And the reason why I was so afraid is because I was looking at me. I was looking at what I was capable of. I was looking at who I was on the inside. When I looked at myself, it made me more afraid because I was like, well, I don't know if I have enough. I would be so afraid out there on the field sometimes that I would hope the other team would like, because I was a punt returner, right? And the punt returner usually come up on fourth down, which means the other team wasn't able to progress the ball. Fourth down comes, they're ready to punt. I was so afraid that I would hope that they would get first downs on our team and move up the field. That way, I only had to worry about doing a fair catch, right? Because if they're backed up and they punt, then it's fair game. I got a chance to return the ball. Now I have to consider everything. If it's windy, if it's raining, if it's snowing, these are all elements that heighten my fear. Because now I'm like, oh, shoot, the wind's blowing. Now I have to judge the ball even harder. I got people running down at me while my head's in the sky. There's so many things, so many variations of it, right? So many things that are making me afraid. But I was so afraid that I was like, God, like, I just want them to get this first down. Because if they move up close enough, then I don't have to worry about running the ball. I just have to worry about catching it. And I feel comfortable doing that. I don't have to worry about who's running down, all that. But I was so afraid, terrified, because I was so focused on myself and not God. Now, that would change depending on how I was doing spiritually. If I was connected with God, I would feel more confident. I would feel more relaxed. Those times where I kind of maybe drifted or, you know, allow Satan to kind of creep his way in there and slip through the cracks, those times I would feel the fear starting to heighten. When I started to rely on myself more, I started to feel that fear heighten more and more and more.
Yeah.
But here's the other part of the truth that Satan leaves out. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, that's the part that Satan leaves out. He hyper-focuses on that truth, because Satan knows the scriptures too.
Yeah.
He gonna kind of twist them up just a little bit. So when he does say we weak, he's right. When he does say we're foolish, he's right. But the thing is, God says his grace is sufficient for us, for his power is made perfect in our weakness. So when he tells us he's weak, I agree with him. You right. I am weak. But you know what? God's made perfect in weakness. It's not made perfect in strength. When you think about all the characters in the Bible, all the people in the Bible who God did amazing things with, all of them were weak.
That's right. Yeah.
They weren't strong at all. You take Moses. Moses was insecure. And he was afraid. When God showed him what he wanted him to do, the first thing he looked at was himself. He didn't look at what God was able to do. He said, well, shoot, me? You want me to go talk to afraid of people? I can hardly speak. And now you telling me to go back to a place where they want to kill me? I don't know if I could do that. And when you think about what Moses actually did, when you think about the actual practical things that he did, it was nothing special. He did nothing special. It didn't require skill set. It didn't require a crafty tongue. It didn't require any physicality. None of that. Literally, when you think about what he did, all he did, he went over there, took a stick, and he dropped the stick on the ground. How hard is that? I think we all could drop a stick here, right? All he did was drop a stick, and what happened next? Greatness turned into a snake. All he did was take the staff, put it in the ground, and the Red Sea parted. I think we all can take a staff and put it in the ground or hold it up, and the Red Sea part, right? What he actually did was not that special. We all can go somewhere and say, hey, let my people go. That's not a hard cadence. We all can say that. That's not nothing difficult, right? What he actually did was not that difficult. But God was able to take the little things that he did and make them great. Mm-hmm. All he needed was him to be willing. He didn't need Moses to be super intelligent. He didn't need Moses to be super talented. He just needed a body that was willing to go wherever it is that he wanted to go. He said, I'll do the rest. Take Gideon. Gideon said, I'm the least in my family. I have the weakest clan, right? He was insecure and he was afraid. He was hiding. He had a big battle ahead of him. And he felt weak, right? God took the 30,000 soldiers. He was like, no, that's too much. Too many men. I know Gideon's like, what you mean? We ain't got enough. 30,000? We need 100,000. The fear that I have, many people thought is possible. God said, nah, 30,000 is too much.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of some. 20,000 gone. Left with 10,000. Nah, still too much. I know Gideon's sweating at this time. 10,000, nah, it's too much. Let's go send them down there to the water. Whoever drinks in the water like a dog, we're going to separate them. All right, cool. We're down to 300. Yeah, we about right. 300. God was able to have him have victory with 300 men. God does a lot with a little.
That's right. Yeah.
He doesn't need a lot. You take David, for example. David wasn't no crazy warrior. He was a boy attending his father's sheep. He was herding cattle. That's what he was doing. If you lined him up with all his brothers, he was probably the last person you would pick to do anything that had to do with battle. Small in stature, not physical at all. But God did a lot with a little. He defeated one of the greatest warriors of that time. And what did he actually do? He didn't have no Star Wars saber, like swordsmanship. Like he wasn't super talented in battle. All the armor he had on was too heavy for him. He wasn't built like that. All he did was put a rock in a sling and sling it. And God did the rest. He didn't need to be super talented. He didn't need all the skills. He didn't need much. He didn't need size. He didn't need the strength to be able to hold up all the armor. He didn't need none of that. He just needed to be willing.
Amen.
He needed to be willing for God to use him, and that's what he was. And now we still read about him today. God can do a lot with a little bit.
Amen.
And because we haven't worked through our own insecurities, it makes it hard for us to want to associate with our weaknesses because it validates what we already believe about ourselves. We got to get comfortable being weak. We're so insecure, we're so uncomfortable being weak, we want to lean into our strengths because it feels better. You know, I'm starting to pick basketball back up again. You know, I haven't played basketball in 15 plus years. I'm rusty. And, you know, I'm right-handed, so I've been trying to work on my left. And I hate the way it makes me feel working on my left because I do not like feeling weak. I don't like the way it makes me look. I'm on the basketball court, and I'm, like, dribbling with my left, and I just feel like a little kid trying to learn how to play basketball for the first time. And I'm like, no, I don't like the way this makes me look. Let me go back to the right so I can feel confident again. Because I feel better in my strength. It feels better to be strong. So we want to gravitate towards the things that we're good at. We want to gravitate towards the thing that makes us feel strong because it makes us feel more secure. Because we're not secure enough to be able to walk in weakness. It says, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. They prided themselves on weakness. They embraced weakness. That was like their anthem. They were like, man, I'll take weakness all day. I don't want nothing to do with strength. How are you this morning? Have you embraced weakness? Or are you running from it? Have you made a decision to be like, you know what? I'm going to walk in my weakness. Because if we decide to walk in our weakness, then that means we're relying fully on God. The reason why they were so comfortable in weakness is because they knew God was going to come through for them. They knew God was going to be the source of their strength and allow them to be able to be strong in any and every situation. If we gravitate towards our strength, that's saying something about our relationship with God. It's saying we don't trust him. It's saying we don't believe that he's able, he's possible. We would rather lean on our own strength than lean on him. We got to have a better relationship with our weakness. God could do a lot with a little bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't need much. And in this last scripture, I want to show you how God did a lot so we could do a little. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When God gave us Jesus, he emptied his pockets all the way down to the lint. He gave us everything. He made the biggest sacrifice that he could for anybody. He did a lot so we can do a little. Before Jesus came, people had to like kill cattle and all that to get sin forgiveness. We don't got to do that no more.
Yeah.
He put Jesus on the cross for us, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we don't have to go through that no more. He did a lot so we can do a little. And the thing about that sacrifice, the thing that makes his sacrifice so powerful is because God put Jesus on the cross knowing that there's going to be some people in this world who are never going to want a relationship with him. Like, it's not like there's people who are never, ever going to want a relationship with him. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? I know you're never, ever going to want a relationship with my son, but I'm going to give him to you anyway. Knowing you're not going to take it. I know for a fact you are not going to want a relationship with him, but I'm going to still give you the option. I'm going to still give up the thing that means the most to me. I'm going to watch him suffer on earth to give to you, knowing you're not going to take it. How many of us would even sacrifice for someone who's worthy? How many of you would die for someone who's worthy? who's been the greatest Samaritan on this earth. I wouldn't. Keep it, be honest. But Jesus came down for everyone. All of us, undeserving. He came down to earth. He was chilling in heaven. Living good. No pain. No nothing. He came down for all of us. To take it on for us. Take on all our sin. We had a straight ticket to hell before Jesus came and vouched for us. God made the biggest sacrifice so that we can do little. He did all the heavy lifting. Now, as we're taking communion, let's reflect on that. Let's reflect on the sacrifice that God made for us, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Him having us in mind when he was going through that suffering. Let's be grateful for the fact that we can stand here today and be weak, be the imperfect people that we are, and still know that we could be great, that God can use us to do phenomenal things, that God has blessed us and gave us the opportunity to be associated with him, to let us be on his team. Think about all the areas of your life where you're weak and be grateful that God has decided to be involved in each and every one of your lives and allows you to be strong. So let's reflect on that. Let's reflect on that sacrifice. All right?
Yeah.
Let us pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your sacrifice. God, you didn't have to do it. God, I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity, God, to have a relationship with you. God, life is hard. It is hard, but it's so great to be able to go through this hard life with you. The thought of you not being present, God, is a scary thing. God, and we don't deserve anything that we have today. And I'm just grateful, God, that you have the mercy and you have the grace to give us a shot to constantly forgive us over and over and over again. And for you to give up the thing you love most, the person you love most, so that we can have salvation, God, so that we can walk with you every single day, so that we can have the forgiveness of sins, so that we don't have to walk around feeling guilty, sad, and burdened every day. Thank you for protecting us from Satan, the enemy, God, who's always trying to destroy us, kill us, break us apart, tear us away from you, tear us away from each other. Thank you for giving us victory in you through Jesus. God, I pray that we can walk away here, God, with more gratitude, God, that we can walk away excited and motivated, God, to getting closer to you, to learning who you are, understanding who you are in a different way, being transformed and renewing of our mind, God, thinking differently about how we see you, how we see ourselves. So, God, bless this day. Help it to be a great day. Pray this all in your son's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.